let's get you back into the last hour of Styles and Watkins.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sactown Sports.
The Athletic has released a playoff player tier list that Chris has more details on. Quickly, whether you are a Giants fan or an A's fan or conflicted, like relationship, this is complicated. There are some young players that need to be pulled up. Estuary Ruiz is still balling, and the A's pulled up somebody else instead of him once there was an injury. Estuary Ruiz deserves to be in the big leagues. Elliot Ramos has been balling. I believe that Farhan is not really an Elliot Ramos guy because Elliot Ramos was there before Farhan was part of the Giants, and I think they're trying to move him. They just haven't moved him yet. And it's time for Luis Matos as right field, whether it's Yastrzemski or Slater. It's just not good ball out there. It's just not good ball. So let the kids play.
Please.
Let the kids play, please. Chris, I actually saw, and I don't want to get it wrong here, but the Major League Baseball has implemented something, because you know how they'll mess with, and what I read was Estuary Ruiz, the whole situation where
right.
The service day thing.
Right.
Major League Baseball is trying to make to discourage doing that. They get an extra pick or they get something yeah. like that, but it's not moving people so far. It's not moving teams so far. So Major League Baseball has to stop this. The younger the better when it comes to pulling up these players and getting young kids back to being interested in the sport. All right.
I have a quick question for you on that, actually, because I've always wondered this about the MLB draft, because this is what the thing that makes baseball much different than every
How
other sport.
How much time do you have?
It's more just like, so what is, do you agree that with the what's happened throughout time that kids who come straight out of the draft, whether it be from high school or from college, they take a couple years to eventually get to the show? I've always felt like the draft is such a huge part in like the story building of football and basketball, mm-hmm. like getting to see the rookies and just baseball never really, or as a casual fan, never really understanding like what a rookie class is going to look like until you're already in the middle of the season. Like, is that something that maybe they can start to work towards, or is it just kind of like a, hey, freshmen in college aren't ready to go to the NFL? Is it kind of like that?
So you're asking,
is it actually too young? Like, is the reason why players don't, they take a couple years to go through the minors before eventually getting called up? And I know Jackson Holliday, I don't know when he was drafted. So, and like, that's a really extreme case of somebody flying through. Mm-hmm. Should, I guess my bigger question is, should that be more of the case? That guys
that's what
don't
I would
hang
like.
Around in the minors as long? Because it feels like, you just, I mean, like, nobody's going to pay attention to Elliot Ramos in the AAA unless you're really, really dedicated to being a fan. And so I just don't know how much, like, I think rookies are just such a huge story in all sports. It just feels like that's been something that baseball has just kind of always missed out on. And I never knew if it was because of the reality of the situation. Again, like, freshmen cannot come into the NFL because their bodies aren't developed enough.
Yeah.
Is there something that has to do with the physical makeup of these young guys that doesn't allow them to play in the majors? Or is it just a, hey, you've been pitched to by a high schooler, it's completely different when Justin Verlander's out there?
Yeah, I mean, you would assume it makes sense in football. And it's only a one and done in basketball.
Right.
Even.
Yeah,
so if you're ready after 1 year from high school basketball to NBA, what are we talking about with baseball? I feel the same way. You know, even as somebody who didn't get a call myself, I think there should be less rounds. I think there should be less minor leagues.
Yeah.
I think that it's all unnecessary. I would say that you probably need 1 or 2 years if you come straight out of
high school. Probably. Okay.
But out of college, throw them out there. But you can't do that because there's so many the farm system. There's so many teams, and I know people. Oh, you're taking away, you know, your job from certain cities, and I just don't think it ever should have got to this point. Uh-huh. It was 40 rounds at one point. Now I think it's down to 20. Back when it was COVID, and I believe it was only 10 rounds during COVID, you actually had kids play college, and then they were in the bigs. I believe a couple pitchers did it, and that was awesome.
Interesting.
It was awesome. Yeah. So it can be done. I don't think it would happen super often, but these guys should not be hanging around for 1 to 2 years. Cut the draft to 10 rounds and just see if they're ready and figure it out. Yeah. That's how it should be for me. To answer your question, I think that, out of high school, you need a couple years to see.
Just kind of bulk up, maybe.
But this idea that you need to just draft, and like I said, how much time do you have? Some of the exploitation going on in Latin American countries when it comes to baseball.
Gosh,
but the idea that baseball, you just need to draft, there needs to be 1,000 kids. Yeah. What you're doing is you're using these dudes as not test dummies, but you're using them as placeholders for your big money guys, right? And allowing them to believe that they have a chance and maybe they get a cup of coffee.
Right.
Maybe. But in reality, they won't.
Yeah, they'll just stay around the
minors.
And
you know
for
that.
Years.
I have so many stories. I know a guy, he was hitting 300, got released because he wasn't worth a lot of money. And that's how it is.
And
so,
it's like, what else was he supposed to do? Like, he hit 300. Like,
what do you want him to do? But his ceiling wasn't high enough. So the whole thing is a mess. And I hope they shorten the draft again because. And I wrote about this a couple years ago, the percentages of dudes. And I know someone's probably typing right now, but Mike Piazza, enough, enough. That's every once in a blue moon.
It's like saying Jokic and Draymond.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. And maybe it's a lot, pitchers a lot, sure. Maybe you get it right a couple times, but the numbers are the numbers. The top 10 rounds, that's really where you're getting a lot of these players that, you know, have
impact,
real, real nice careers.
Interesting.
In the league. So
thank you.
Like I said, in the summer, you know, we'll definitely get it going, and that's how I feel about it. And I have friends that played with me that when they cut down the amount of rounds, and I put out that piece or I did a podcast or something, they were against me, and they said you wouldn't have X player or Y player if you didn't have that. And I hear you, but that's just. I get it, but
you got to cut it off at some point.
Well, then
exactly.
Do 60 rounds. Do 70. You can say that in any sport, right?
Absolutely.
If they're good, you know, and the whole thing, if they're good, they'll find you.
Yeah.
At the same time, I feel like if you're really, really good, they'll find you.
Yes.
If you're okay.
And if you're really dedicated also.
Exactly. Here's Rod, who I would assume wants to talk about some baseball. What's up, Rod? What you got for us?
It's just kind of a different take on what you guys are saying, but in minor league baseball, so you take single A and double A, and you make them non-affiliated. So in other words, what you do is major league baseball is kind of going out, finding high school talent, finding college talent, filling those spots for all the teams in single A and double A. And then what happens is you have a draft. Major league baseball teams have a draft to fill their triple A rosters and their major league rosters out of A and double A.
Alan, thoughts?
So in other words,
right.
Does that make sense? So they have a pool. Your pool of players that you can draft from is single A and double A.
Yeah. So all the single A and double A would just be like free agent signings.
Correct. They're like, it's kind of like Major League Soccer. Major League Soccer, the league owns the contract of the player.
Right.
So in other words, that would be your pool of players, and then Major League Baseball basically drafts from within that pool.
And then by the time they actually get drafted, they're actually either ready to go close to ready to go. And then fans would associate with them more.
Correct.
Did you come up with this yourself, Rod?
Absolutely. I thought about it from the gym to when I called, when I was listening to you guys.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. Well, we have a single A team here in Modesto, the Modesto Nuts.
That's right. That's right.
So, anyway, but just throwing that out. It's a pool of players, and you just select from there.
No, thanks for the call, Rod. Get those endorphins going from the gym, and the juices start flowing.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good idea. So you know, the same scouts you have out now.
Yeah.
You just all right. You know. Sign. It's a rotating sign. You release people. You sign people. Whatever it is. Then when the draft comes around, because you could. it would still give those high schoolers a year or two. Mm-hmm. And then if you're ready, you get drafted. If you're not ready, every year you're draft eligible.
Right.
Rod, that's a good one. That's a really good one on a Friday. I'm going to keep that, Rod, but I will I will definitely reference Rod from Modesto on his way back from the gym.
From the gym, yeah. That's when all the best ideas come.
That's great stuff.
From the gym and in the shower.
That's great stuff. It's also great stuff to see some Kings players featured on this playoff player tier list from The Athletic. Yes. Chris, why don't you break it all down?
Yeah, so this is a list that The Athletic, I don't believe they've done this before, but the point of the tiers is intended to represent, and this is directly from the article, the tiers are intended to represent the players most useful towards winning a championship and doing so in the next season or two. Thus, they are heavily playoff weighted, and that and in a way that penalizes some players, and this is, again, a direct quote from The Athletic, that penalizes some players, such as Domantas Sabonis, while benefiting others, Jimmy Butler, for example. So it's more just meant to say, you know, you just asked our guest.
Gerald,
thank you. I was blanking. Like, is there two Robins in that situation? This is essentially a Batman power ranking. Mm-hmm, so think of it like that. And the Kings have three players included in these four tiers. And the tiers are broken up by A, B, and C as well. So it's tier 1A, tier 1B, tier 1C, so on and so forth. Malik Monk, thankfully, is one of the three that made it on the list. Definitely makes sense if you watch Malik last year. Malik is listed as a 4C option for, not an option, a 4C tier ranking in this. He's sandwiched in between Emmanuel Quickley, Zach LaVine, Tyler Hero, Josh Hart, Jeremy Graham. I'll just read the rest of 4C. Cade Cunningham, Mike Conley, Alex Caruso, KCP, Miles Bridges, RJ, okay, this is longer than I thought. RJ Barrett and LaMelo Ball are all in the 4C category.
Interesting.
Some of those I like better than others. Yeah, I think, like, I'd like to think, you know, he has a little bit more impact than Mike Conley, a little bit more impact than Josh Hart would have.
Right.
Maybe a little bit more than Emmanuel Quickley, but,
yeah,
you know, whatever. It's not that bad. He's in tier four. Domantas Sabonis is also in tier four, which I disagreed with. And, you know, I guess we got a little bit of a preview in the explanation. But Sabonis is in tier 4A with others like Fred VanVleet, Alperen Şengün, Julius Randle, Michael Porter Jr., who's a third option in Denver, maybe even fourth. Evan Mobley, Brandon Miller, Chris Middleton, CJ McCollum, Brooke Lopez, Jaren Jackson, CJ, Draymond, Aaron Gordon, Darius Garland, Mikal Bridges, Scottie Barnes, Desmond Bane, OG Anunoby. I don't hate that tier list. I do feel like some of those names I would feel fine with Sabonis being compared to, but others, I just feel like, I think Sabonis is going to have a bigger impact than Michael Porter Jr.
But you know that Warrior fans would say that Draymond doesn't deserve to be in 4A either.
Exactly.
When we return, we will find out where De'Aaron Fox is. Styles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports. Before we get back to De'Aaron Fox and what tier he's at, Simone with a Masters breakdown.
I just wanted to do a little mini update. I know we're all tentatively watching out for Mr. Tiger Woods, and he is actually back in the clubhouse sitting on a 72 for the day. Just a quick update.
Ooh, there he is.
Tiger one over. So he's going to make the cut.
Yes.
This is looking like projected cut plus four. So Tiger's sitting at plus one. There you go. And that's history, right?
Ooh, and we're going to, yes, it is. And we're going to see his new Sunday Red on Sunday.
That's a fact. What did he name his brand? Isn't it something like Sunday?
I believe it is. Yeah. Sunday Red.
Okay, that's what I think. Thought. It's something like that. I saw his hat, too. I know he switched up the logo as well. He got his own personal logo. Not really a big fan of it. It's like a, it kind of looks like a Puma.
There was something with Nike. Okay.
Yeah.
So what, he just...
After a long, long...
Did he sign with somebody else, or he's just making his own stuff?
I believe he's making his own stuff.
Smart.
It's probably... It's got to be tied with one of the... Speaking of... There's no way he's producing all that stuff himself.
This is my monthly shout-out, and I got it open right here. It'll happen tomorrow, 7 a.m., okay? In honor of Kobe's last game, three different Kobe shoes are coming out tomorrow, 7 a.m. Pacific. I shouldn't even be telling people this is more
competition. That's right. Yeah, I know. You're just adding.
It's more
competition. All right. These are the three. The Kobe 4 Phillies. Obviously, Kobe was from Philly. The Kobe 6 Italian Camo. And the Kobe 6 Venice Beach. All I want, this is all I want as I come back from Achilles, which Kobe did as well. I just need a pair of Kobes.
Do you care which one?
Out of those three?
Out of those three.
I mean, no.
Are you gonna, do you have to enter in to all of them individually?
I make my wife do it.
Yes.
She has a sneaker app. And if if Baby Styles had a phone, I'd make her do it too.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. And actually, my mom has a sneaker app. I got to text her.
Really? Oh, yeah.
It's all hands on deck.
Because
I
hear they're more likely to give it to fresh accounts. I've heard that rumor before.
I've also heard they're more likely to give it to female-owned accounts.
Really?
I don't know why. Wow. I think it's because, hey, they're trying to encourage. I don't know.
The price just
I don't
up.
Know. But
exactly. Simone's services
my wife
available.
Did win a pair that I lost on. You know my dunks, the white dunks that I wear to the games?
Yes.
Yeah, she won those.
Wow. Really?
I had a better batting average in baseball than I do on the sneaker app. So if you're asking me, I would love the Phillies because of my connection T for Temple U. I would love the Phillies, but I'll take any of them. Anybody
the
out there
cool.
with the sneaker plug, please help me. But this is still not the next level. The next level is next month for the girl dads.
Yeah. I'm looking
That's
at these
what I
right
need.
Now. These are nice.
Did you just make this transition from Kobe to Tiger because of the GOAT? Is that what's going on?
Well, that'll work. I was just thinking shoes and brands.
Thank you.
I don't know. And I planned on plugging it at some point and begging again, as I beg every time. I will be up 7 a.m. because I'll be up anyway because of the baby. Please. Right. Help me. And it is interesting now that she's basically walking. When I see other babies, I'm calling her a baby, but.
Right. You're like,
basically
she's
a toddler now.
I think she's starting to push towards it. Yeah. I think once you start walking, that feels like.
She's going to be one in a couple weeks.
She's crawling sometimes when she wants to.
Well, she's walking more than she's crawling now.
Okay.
So now, and she's saying words. So I see a baby and I think, she's not. Doesn't look like a baby.
Yeah, she's
anymore.
Not like like a baby anymore.
I need she's in a weird. She's what are they called? Tweens.
Tweens. Yeah.
She's like a tween between a baby and a toddler.
Yeah.
She's a boddler.
I still can't believe you never reconsidered the baby race.
It's
one
too
more
late.
Time.
It's too late.
Okay.
I'm glad I didn't. That's someone else's crown to wear.
Two more home games.
Maybe they should do a toddler race too. You know. Kids.
But then it's like
you got to stand, no crawling.
Because that's my problem with when we watch MasterChef Junior. The ages are too wide. So you got a little 6-year-old with an 11-year-old.
I don't think I particularly enjoy the idea of like toddlers running on the deck too and someone blowing out a tooth right before we have to go back to the second quarter.
Well, they'll come back. This is just the first round of teeth anyway. Okay. First round of teeth anyway. All right. We've made you wait long enough. Huh. Where does De'Aaron Fox fall?
De'Aaron Fox falls in tier 2. We're in tier 2, tier 2C, which, it doesn't sound great. But again, when you look at the guys who are around him, I think it makes me feel a little bit better. Jamal Murray, Ja Morant. Let's see here. Jamal Murray, Ja Morant, Donovan Mitchell, James Harden, Paul George, De'Aaron Fox, Anthony Davis, Jalen Brunson, Bam Adebayo.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that are in 2C.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't know how you can have a problem with that.
I think the only I don't have a problem with the ranking. I think the conversation that leads me into is those guys are all twos. Those guys are all Batmans.
Hey, man.
James Harden,
you
Paul
mean,
George.
Robins.
Robins. I'm sorry, Robins. Well, yeah. Batman to a Superman, potentially. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they definitely meant Robin. Jamal Murray, as we know, that's number 2 to Jokic. Ja Morant, he is a number 1, but... We'll see. He's more in the De'Aaron tier of he's their team's best player, but we have not seen it lead to a deep run.
Right.
Donovan Mitchell, don't get me started. James Harden,
he's on the other side.
We know what that is. Paul George is absolutely a number 2. He's a high level number 2, which if he's the one who's right below De'Aaron, makes me feel good. Anthony Davis, if you're saying De'Aaron and Anthony Davis are in the same tier, I feel pretty good about that. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis is a really big impact player. Jalen Brunson, you know, I think overall, again, are the Knicks going to win a championship with Jalen Brunson as their number one? I would be shocked.
Right.
But Jalen Brunson is still leading that Knicks team as their best player to a number one seed. I know this is playoff tier, and this is just specifically talking about the playoffs, but I think if they're putting De'Aaron in the category of guys who are game changers instead of game managers, like I definitely think I feel good about it, but as you know, as is the point of the tier, there's levels to this, and I'm not sure if De'Aaron is gonna step into the tier 2B is Anthony Edwards, Victor, Jimmy Butler, Devin Booker. I think he can step into that, but then if we're talking 2A is Tatum, Leonard, LeBron, Shea, that's a bit tougher.
Who the heck is 1?
Tier 1, and this is 1B, is Embiid, Durant, I don't agree with this one, Luka, and Steph. Tier 1A is Jokic and Giannis. I think it's crazy to not have Luka in tier 1A. I think that's nuts. I would probably put Steph in tier 1A too.
Who in Giannis? Jokic and Giannis?
Jokic and Giannis are tier 1A. Steph, Luka, KD, and Joel are 1B. So they're still tier 1, but
yeah. I mean, most of those
guys,
I don't
really know what the
most of those guys have rings though. The two guys in tier 1A have rings.
Yes.
And the only two who don't in 1B is
Luka and Joel.
Luka and Joel. So it's They'll put him. They want to put him there. I mean, Look at Tatum. Tatum been to a finals.
Tatum is in 2A.
Joel hasn't sniffed a finals.
No, yeah, and I don't really necessarily agree with that. I feel like Tatum's been really good in the postseason, and even Kawhi. Having Kawhi in 2A, I get you got to stir up some conversation, which they've definitely done with the article. But I don't necessarily know if I agree with that. I would probably have. I definitely have Jokic in 1A. I would definitely have Luka in 1A. I would probably consider Steph if I am going to throw a third name in there. I'd put him at 1A. But
Where's LeBron?
LeBron is 2A. He is 2A with Kawhi, Jason Tatum, and Shea. Which, even then, I feel like LeBron's more of a 1B. I don't know. I feel like I'm getting into semantics here. Yeah. But I'm just surprised that that's how they decided to cut it off. And to tie it to the De'Aaron point, I'm a little bit concerned that De'Aaron's in a group of a lot of second options.
Look, I'm just going to give you a preview to the summer. And I know the people on the text line, I read it all. And there are people on social media that also have some things to say. I've seen everything, Chris, from the meme where there's a Ferrari in like a trailer home.
Right.
And it says De'Aaron on the Kings. I've seen that. I've seen people say we should be worried about De'Aaron forcing his way out of Sacramento. I've seen that the Kings should trade. This is today on the text line. I've seen that the Kings should entertain trading De'Aaron. So De'Aaron, whenever you fall in that category where people don't know where to put you, that's what makes you polarizing.
Yeah.
That's why Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm not comparing the two.
Sure.
That's why Jimmy Garoppolo was so polarizing.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why Derek Carr
That's
why Brock Purdy has been so polarizing. When people don't know where to put you, it begs a huge conversation. And depending on how this thing ends, whether it ends in a losing in the first round, as long as it doesn't end in a parade, which we don't think it will,
they're going to be
statements from all over the map,
full range
on De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis,
because
he's in a similar situation as a big.
Yep.
Sals and Watkins. When we return, you hear from Kevin Huerter post surgery. Sactown Sports.
I mean, it's a huge difference, obviously, regardless of if you're at home or on the road. But, you know, you're 9-10, you wake up that day and you just have a bad game, like you're done. So at least when you're 7-8, you technically have the opportunity to have a bad first game. Obviously, you don't want to do that. But having two opportunities is much better than basically having one, and then you have to win that game, and then you have to win another game. So it's much easier to go 1-1 than it is to go 2-0. And
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sactown Sports.
It's huge, De'Aaron Fox says, to not get that 9-10. I mean, to win two. And I got to be honest with you, Chris. Mm-hmm. Especially with no Malik Monk and no Kevin Huerter. the way this team has been playing, and who knows what happens if they get in the playoffs, but you just want to get in. At least you're promised four games. You promised some home games. I know Vivek wants to get somebody on the
YouTube pyrotechnics.
Talked about the business side of things, and trust me, if anybody gets it, Chris and I get it. But this team, you drop to that 9, and you got to win one to then travel somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say anything is it cooked like the chicken wing on the court.
It's crispy.
It's a chicken wing.
But gets me every time. But I don't see. I'm be honest. I don't see the Kings winning two in a row.
I agree. I'm right there.
And that would be one at home, but then the second one would be on the road.
No, they're going to have to prove a lot of doubters wrong, and there will be two doubters right here on this midday show if they end up in that 9 seed or in that 10 seed especially. I think that's a little bit insurmountable, and it's really funny that De'Aaron even in there is like, yeah, you know, you give yourself at least the cushion to have a – obviously you don't want to have a bad game, but you might. And,
yeah,
you know, and like,
they even know,
it's
man.
Just, yeah, this team, like, to play two consecutive – as crazy as this sounds, and this is, I guess, if you're saying this, that tells you about the state of your team. But, you know, winning – or playing two straight good games in a row – it's a pretty tall task for this team. We haven't really seen them string together multiple good performances in a row, especially not high leverage games. I wouldn't believe it. I definitely would not believe in them if that's the case. I think if they end up in the 7-8, I think all things are equal. I'll feel good about their chances, but if they have to win two games, I would be shocked, honestly, if they make it out of that. And that's just mainly because of how they've performed all year long. And it was kind of funny hearing De'Aaron there. He kind of sounded like Torian Prince explaining what a rebound is. It's like, yeah, two games is better than one game. So we'd rather have two games than one.
This would be the epitome of limping into the playoffs.
Yes.
But all you care about, and as Vivek is probably grinding film right now, all you care about is getting into the dance.
Yes.
But yeah, I trust this team way more to win one out of two than to win two in a row. Just and to be honest with you, if you lose that first game, I don't even know how confident I'll be in the second game, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Yeah. And part of the reason that they have dropped the way they have dropped from late March to now is Malik Monk, but also starter Kevin Huerter. And Kevin Huerter spoke before the game and broke down really some fascinating pieces about his shoulder and how he feels moving forward.
Overall, it just kind of goes through your mind having this operation and kind of not being able to be here.
Yeah, timing obviously sucks. No other way to put it, but successful operation. It's something I felt like we needed to do for my long-term health and me not having issues with it moving forward. And just glad I got it hopefully behind me and looking forward to a good summer to get back.
Kev, what went into that decision to whether, I mean, was there even a possibility of not having surgery, or once you got all the information, it was like this was the only route?
Yeah, it was, it's an issue that I've had for couple years now. Nothing that was significant enough for me to have to fix it and get surgery on, something that I've played with and felt like I could get back to 100% and haven't had issues with in a couple of years. And this one, most recent, I'll call it episode, injury became more significant. And so then the decision became, playing through the injury, obviously, or completely fixing with surgery. And where it was currently at, it could be 100% fixed with surgery. And the next time I injured it, every time you pop your shoulder out, a tear gets bigger, your bone could chip, or your cartilage in your shoulder, you could continue to wear that away. And so then it became, if I'm just waiting for the next time I get hurt, then there could be damage that I can't fix with surgery, and then you're never the same. And so because of the significance in the surgery, it was something that doctors were a couple of doctors were fairly certain it would pop out again. Like there's an injury there, and that was what, if you're going to play through it, there's this risk of you're going to continue to do it and pop it out, and how fast can you get back from that? And so it became more of not a if, just a when. And for me to have the option to get fully 100% healthy and put this behind me, I just got to do it and get it done with.
So it's been, it was called an episode. and this has been something he's dealing with. And Chris, you, I mean, you said this morning, and this was, I think, huge that you mentioned was, is this why Kevin, and obviously he said he's been dealing with it for the last couple years, but yeah. maybe it was bothering him more this season than last season, yeah. and that's why he was a little bit ice cold this year.
Definitely makes sense. I mean, if you're talking about somebody who's a shooter and someone who's just been a certain level shooter his entire career, you pointed out early in the season, like, it looks like there's a little bit of a hitch in his jumper, and it all kind of adds up if you know all of the pieces that go into it. I mean, definitely if you're having issues with your shoulder, especially like dislocation or any sort of like rotator cuff mm-hmm. stuff, you could definitely see how that would impact your jump shot pretty severely. If you're dealing with pain every time you go up, or you know, you're supposed to keep your elbow tucked in tight, if, you know, for whatever reason it's just easier on you to kind of, no pun intended, excuse the pun, chicken wing it a bit and keep your elbow out there, like that's going to lead to a lot of inconsistencies in your jump shot. And, you know, I definitely think, I don't know if you can say it's an excuse, but it really makes a lot of sense if it's something that he says he's been dealing with, and even mentions, like, the more times you hurt it, which is something everybody knows about, separating your shoulder, but every time you hurt it, it's even more likely that it's going to happen again mm-hmm. until you actually fix the problem. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely think that Kevin, everybody knows he took a step back this year on the offensive end. You just got to hope that he comes out next season, whether it be for Sacramento or somebody else, but that he's able to kind of get this thing back on track, because Kevin is a dynamite shooter if he can. And we've seen, you know, horror stories of this, of guys like Joe Harris, who was an excellent shooter. Every team in the NBA would have loved to have Joe Harris. And then I can't remember exactly what injury happened with him, but it just kind of continued to stack up. And now he's one of the worst contracts in the NBA. So, you know, you just hope that doesn't happen with Kevin. It's good that they kind of stopped this before it eventually snowballed, and it sounded like it could have led to some serious damage. So the hope is that this was just a year from hell for Kevin Huerter, and it really ended with the worst way possible. And you just got to hope that you leave it in the rear view and Kevin returns to the guy that we saw him be last year.
That's the hope. That's the hope. At least he is starting the healing process, and it's going to have to happen physically and also mentally. Yeah. That's just how it goes. All right, on a Friday, prop talk. How did we do last night? I know how I did.
I know how Alan did.
But I don't know about anybody else. Prop talk, dog segment, and closeouts and shoutouts. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. All right, let's review last game. Sabonis, rebounds, assists, 22.5. There's no way that hit.
This is our last regular season prop talk.
Wow. You're going out with a bang.
I hope so. Wait, let's recap how we did the other
day. That's what I'm looking at. Somebody had...
You had Sabonis assist and rebounds.
No, I did not.
Oh, I'm sorry, Simone did.
Brickford.
Yeah.
Brickford.
Yeah, that did not hit.
Yikes. Yeah, that did not hit. You had HB points.
Let's go. Let's go.
Did hit 22 for HB. I had De'Aaron over 6 assists. I believe he ended with 8. So 2 of 3, not bad at all. And then
take those numbers.
We'll recap the dog segment too. Alan had, he doubled down. It was a dangerous move, but it pays off mm-hmm. tenfold. HB, Alan's dog yesterday. I had De'Aaron Fox. Simone had Keegan Murray. I feel like we did fine there. Mm-hmm. I think that's fine. I think Keegan mm-hmm. definitely stepped up in the fourth quarter. I think HB and Fox had their moments.
Mm-hmm.
I think we did well. Which moves us on to today. Alan, you ready to cook, or have you...
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay. You're always ready. It shouldn't even be a question.
I'm stuck between two.
Okay.
I'm stuck between Harrison Barnes, 1.5 three-pointers, and okay. Keon Ellis, 1.5 three-pointers.
Ooh. Yeah, this is the
They're both
question.
Going to take at least 3 or 4.
Can HB have back-to-back good games? Is it possible?
We doing it again.
Tripling down. Wow.
Harrison Barnes, 1.5 3-pointers. I'm hot, baby. We got Brandon Nunez behind the glass saying two thumbs down. Harrison Barnes.
HB threes over 1.5.
He's going to take at least 4.
I was like, you want to finish that sentence?
You guys are insane for not taking Keon between the two.
Someone else can take him.
You know.
Can I get in on this?
Sure.
I'll take Brandon. The Keon 1.5.
Keon 1.5.
Brendan. Keon 3.
Keon's going to take at least 4.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he hit 8 the other day.
Yeah.
Let's see here. 1.5 should be late. Should be light. Let's see here. As I scroll. CHB 12.5 points. Wow. You really got the value in yesterday.
I'm telling you, man.
Wow. Let's see here. I see Sabonis 18.5. You know how I feel about Nurkic.
Yeah, but you know this is Sabonis has not been Sabonis lately.
I'm going to go over 13.5 rebounds for Sabonis. I feel like we've gotten much higher numbers than that, and even then he hits. I'm going to say Sabonis goes back to the well and maybe gets like a 15-plus rebound game tonight against old sophomore.
You said
13.5? 13.5 is the number.
Okay.
Wow. Sabonis rebounds over 13.5.
Pencil me in, if you will. I'm loving this Keon Ellis for. Is this what you just took? I hope not.
He did the threes.
Oh, I did. Dang it.
You're
I wasn't
both behind
even listening.
The glass.
Yeah, I can't that hear because he had my headphones, but I was loving that.
Well, that's your pick.
I'll go ahead, no. I'll go ahead and take Foxy. Give me Foxy. I don't like that one.
Okay.
All right.
The points?
No, for threes as
for
well.
For threes, okay.
Beyond the because they say.
Yeah, okay. De'Aaron. I feel like I'm better off not taking De'Aaron because when I stay away from De'Aaron, he balls out when I pick him.
Yeah, I mean it's always the it's always how it works too. Is it always feels like when you pick somebody, it never works out, but then when you're like, oh, okay, I'll go in a different direction, that's always when they tend to have their big ones.
Uh-huh.
Simone is going De'Aaron Fox threes, and we are going 3.5.
You know what's interesting? They don't have, not that I would take them, but they don't have Grayson Allen on here. At least not yet.
I wonder if that's. We haven't seen an injury report.
No, it just came out because Anthony Slater reported it from the kind of the both perspectives.
Oh, okay. I was like, that's
right?
Interesting.
Right. And he says that Phoenix has a full rotation.
Okay. Some of them, maybe that has to do, I would assume, last time when against the Clippers, they actually didn't start Grayson Allen. So maybe that's what it is they just don't really know what number to put him at. Mm-hmm. I think they started, it was Beal, Booker, Royce O'Neal, KD, and Nurkic, I believe was the starting lineup and should be the starting lineup that we expect tonight. I wonder Grayson Allen. You know, he had that huge game, actually. That's right. I was wondering if Grayson had much impact against the Kings this year, but I believe in Club Phoenix, Grayson hit like 7 or 8 threes.
That's why I was looking.
Yeah, that definitely would be one to look at. Or Devin Booker, even. You know, we've seen Devin Booker give this team absolutely.
You're out on KD after talking to Gerald.
Yeah, you know. You know, our guests get to me, man. You know, when we had Cameron on a couple weeks ago, he was telling us that the Kings had a puncher's chance against the Celtics, mm-hmm. like ruined my whole weekend. And now, now I'm just going to be thinking about KD, like just kind of coasting.
Yeah, he's just hanging
chilling,
out.
Just vibing.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever happens, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, so just to recap here, we have Allen HB threes over 1.5. Brendan has Keon threes over 1.5. Simone has De'Aaron threes over 3.5. And I have Sabonis rebounds over 13.5.
Dog
that
segment.
Feeling like some winners there.
Here, real quick, as we get into dog segment. And again, anybody just happening to turn on the show, thank you for joining us. This is not Alan Stiles. From the 916, light the beam. I got a good idea. We want to be a great team. So next year, only light the beam if we get 2 wins in a row. The following year, 3 games in a row. So on and so forth. Foster winning. That is from Folsom Mike. Gotta earn the beam.
I don't like that.
You don't like it?
I don't like it.
I like the idea. It probably makes more sense in theory than in practice.
Let's just light the beam a ton. I just think we should light it as many times as possible for wins.
And yeah.
I would say I still think that they should light the beam when like significant trades or like re-signings happen. I feel like it should just be like a Lord of the Rings lighting of the beacon where it's just let's just let the town know that there's news
that's George would love that.
Yeah, I think it's too late. I think people would be confused because my Uber driver yesterday on the way back, he clearly wasn't following the game and he said, were you at the game? I see there's no beam. So that just told him.
But like we get a beamless summer. Like we go like 3 months without seeing a beam. And it's like, you know, I'm not saying we got to do it for like summer league wins or something, but you know, yeah, like when Malik Monk re-signs, that dude loves the beam. How are we not gonna light the beam for Malik re-signing to a 3-4 year deal? That sounds pretty good to me, you know? Like Kings make a big trade and get
Paul George
in the building. Like what better way of welcoming a new player than him walking up
and saying, I'm good with that
in the sky?
That's good for you. But I'm good with specific. It's gotta be big though. And now because now you have people like your bestie, Whitey Gleason, texting us. He's so excited for his show that you don't want to miss. The Drive Guy's coming up here at 2. He's so excited. He's texting us saying, beam after every made three.
Well, now you're being ridiculous, Whitey. I mean, we were really trying to figure something out. And now you've made this into a ridiculous thing.
What
he's
saying in the group chat. That's just what he's saying. All right. Dog segment.
Dog segment. Let's do it.
I'll give Harrison a break.
Okay. Thank you.
And
he's tired after that one game.
Well, he's going to need these 2 threes for me. That's what. Then he can take a break. That's right. I'm going to go. You know, he's been a little cold, but he did get 11 minutes last night. I'm going outside the box.
Okay.
We haven't done that in a while because we've been so tight with the playoff race. Sasha Vezenko!
Wow. Mm-hmm. Sasha didn't get much run yesterday, but...
He did have a rainbow three.
He did have a rainbow three. Love to see him just coming in with confidence immediately. And he's like, you know what I'm here for. Yes, love that. I don't know if we've had a Sasha dog all year. I don't know if we've had anyone even
I've definitely adopted Sasha. Of course. Okay. If not just for me, for Emmy. Okay. Get that dog off the street.
Very true. I'm going to give my dog to Keegan. I just think in general, like, he's got to be aggressive. We were talking earlier about him taking that leap. And, you know, when I don't think KD's going to guard him. I actually don't know who. I guess it would be Royce O'Neal potentially who's guarding him, which would make things tough for Keegan. But dude's got to toughen up here. And 2 games left in the season. They need a big-time performance out of Keegan Murray here.
They do.
That would be very nice.
We are up against it. I'm going to go ahead and take I should say 50 Cent's favorite player, Mr. Alex Len.
Okay, Alex Len. Hey, come on, Alex.
The big dog.
I saw Alex Len the other day. He was at a Suns game or something.
Alex Len was?
No. 50 Cent. Oh, by 50 the way, Cent. Where has 50 been this year?
He was at one game, and they lost.
He was at Minnesota recently.
Yeah, Timberwolves game, and then that's when he dropped 50 with 50 Cent.
That's right. That's
and he lost. He lost. That's what happened.
A quick adoption for B back here, and then we got to go.
All right, Brandon, what you got?
We're going to go a different direction. We're going Kessler Edwards today, fellas. Wow. Kobe Jones struggled. I think Kessler is going to get a little bit of run here against Booker.
Wow. Booker.
Mike Brown liked that matchup last year.
Better be quick. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. For our guests as well, Gerald Bourget. Thank you, Simone, for the Masters updates. Styles and Watkins, appreciate all of you. Have a great weekend. Drive Guys up next. Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper. Until Monday, secure the bag. Light both beams. Stay out of the 9th seed. Goodbye.